Welcome to the Proper Mental Podcast. Normalizing open and honest conversations about mental health by having open and honest conversations about mental health. Just before we get going this week, I want to give a little shout out to Pod Bible magazine, because they have just today printed an interview that I submitted to them. They sent me some questions and I sent them some replies. That's how an interview works, right? And yeah, it's really cool how it's come out and I'm really, really pleased with it. And if you go to the Pod Bible website, yeah, I'm kind of on page one in the Have You Heard section. Or if you go on my Instagram, there's a link in the bio. And yeah, go give it a read, get to know me, learn a little bit about the podcast, where it's at, where it's going, all that sort of stuff. It's wicked. And Pod Bible's a really good resource if you're into podcasts as well. So go and check them out and give them a follow. And then we can crack on now with episode 21 of Proper Mental. And I'm joined this week by In Earnest, specifically Tom and Sarah from In Earnest. But In Earnest, they're a band from Southend-on-Sea, and they're made up of Tom and Sarah and Toby. And they mostly write around personal topics, stuff like mental illness, nostalgia and identity. And their aim is to inspire people to talk more openly about these sorts of difficult topics. They released their debut EP last year and followed it up. That's self-titled. And then they followed it up in March of this year with a double A-side, Your Dog / Good Boy. And they're currently at work in a studio on a new EP that's coming out in October. They're also ambassadors for My Black Dog, and if you've listened to the podcast for a while, you'll have heard me chat about My Black Dog quite a bit. But basically, they're an online peer-to-peer chat service that supports people struggling with their mental health, and they're completely run by volunteers who have all had their own experiences with mental health, and the band are ambassadors for them as well. So yeah, this is a really, really good conversation. It's really different. It's the first sort of musical chat I've had. And I sit down with Tom and Sarah from the band, and we talk about all sorts of stuff. We talk about the band's personal reasons behind their advocacy. We talk about depression and the creative process and what it's like to write about depression. It can be really, really hard to kind of even describe what's going on with yourself or know what's happening to you. So to put it into songs, put it into melody is, you know, is pretty cool. So we chat about how all that comes about. We talk about what it's like to be part of a couple and see your partner struggling with mental health. And we talk about how anxiety and depression affects not just the person dealing with it, but, you know, the people around them. Yeah, which, as you can imagine, is a very relatable conversation for me and probably for a lot of people listening. But yeah, it's cool. We really, really get into it. And yeah, they were lovely to chat to. And I kind of think it can't have been easy for them, you know, to sit there and chat to me, the two of them, you know. I think when you're talking about your own mental health, it's one thing. But when you sat there next to your other half and you're both kind of discussing it from both angles, it can be a really tricky question. So yeah, really, really grateful to Sarah and Tom for coming on. They were absolutely lovely. I've become a little bit obsessed with their music. If I'm being honest, everyone who knows me knows I'm an absolute music geek, and I'm glad I like them, because I really wanted to have them on the podcast, and I don't think I would have done if I didn't like their music. Not that I have to like everything about someone, and it is always about mental health first, but because I love music so much, I would have found it really, really difficult chatting to someone about their tunes if it wasn't my cup of tea. But I've listened to their EP in particular so much, most days really, leading up to the chat and since. It's really, really good. They describe their music as sad indie noise, which always makes me laugh. I think that's quite a cool phrase. I wouldn't call it sad indie noise. I call it hopeful. It really gives me a sense of hope, and it's really layered. It's really complex. There's lots of stuff going on. It's a very beautiful sound, very unusual sound. The way Sarah and Tom use their vocals and kind of overlap and harmonize together. And yeah, it's just stunning. It's really, really powerful stuff. And I highly recommend it. The band have been good enough to give me some of their tracks on MP3 to add to this episode. And they said I could pick which ones. So that was tricky in itself. So I decided to, first one you're going to hear, because I've decided to put two, because I couldn't just pick one. So the first one I'm going to put on is a track called Put Me Under. And the reason I picked this one is because during the episode, we talk about a video that they made for Put Me Under that's up on YouTube. And the links to that video are going to be in the episode notes for this. And I'm not going to tell you too much about it now because I don't want to spoil it. Because like I say, we chat about it in the as part of the conversation. But it's one of the best music videos I've seen. It's incredibly powerful. The band made it themselves during lockdown. And it's a really brave video. It must have been a really difficult video to make. And all I'll say really before you go and watch it is that if you've struggled with mental health, particularly with depression, you will recognize that in this video. If you are close to someone or have spent time with someone who struggled with depression, you will see it in this video. And if you know nothing about depression and what it looks like and how it feels, you'll get a very, very good idea from watching this video. It's powerful stuff. It's really, really good. So yeah, I've popped Put Me Under for those sorts of reasons. So what's going to happen is after I finish this really long intro, instead of the usual awesome guitar riff, you're going to hear Put Me Under. Then it's going to go into the episodes. And then at the end, Mike West, as usual, is going to play me out. There's going to be that little bit where my kids have a chat and I use them to try and cuteness overload, to try and get you to leave me a review. And then I'm going to put another song on. I'm going to put on a song called In Between. And these are the two songs, really. If I was going to make you a mixtape, showing my age now, if I was going to make you a playlist, not a cassette, and I was trying to get you into this band, I was trying to talk you into it, those are the two tracks I'd go for. They're a really, really good representation. Beautiful lyrics, beautiful sound, yeah, lovely melody, everything is great. So go and check them out. You can catch up with In Earnest at www.inearnest.co.uk, Facebook In Earnest, Instagram and Twitter at In Earnest Band, and you can get their music on Bandcamp, Spotify, Apple Music, wherever you stream stuff, you can get In Earnest. And yeah, just go and give them some support. You know, it kind of feels like at the moment that we something the world needs is for us all to, you know, to shop local and to support independent business, and also to support the art, support anything creative, and support independent music, because, you know, it's always hard out there for indie acts, but it kind of seems like at the moment it's harder than ever. You know, it's difficult for people to spread their message without tours and stuff like that, you know. And yeah, I think it's important that we do our bit, because we want to keep that alive, you know. We want to keep indie music strong, and to do that, we have to listen to it, we have to stream the hell out of it, we have to buy it when we can. So please go and support them. Yeah, that's it, everything really. I think if you want to catch up with me at Proper Mental Podcast on all social media, I'm always happy to chat. Drop me a message, drop me a comment. Let's get it together. And yeah, if you've got 2 minutes to leave me a review or to subscribe, then I would be over the moon. So here we are, episode 21. I can't get my words out today, me. Episode 21 of the Proper Mental Podcast with In Earnest. And to play you in, here is a song chosen by me. It's called Put Me Under. Thanks for listening. Enjoy.
Take of my mind, I clear my schedule, burn some cash, take in some facts online. I always say I'll start working out and cut down on ice cream. It never is enough to stop me binge watching TV. Everyone says to keep going till you see the light. I might just find a carousel and take a someone else's shoes. with a dog beside. Everyone says to keep going till you see the light. I might just find a carousel and take a
I'm joined today by Sarah and Tom from In Earnest. How are you guys?
Yeah, good. Thank
awesome,
you.
Yeah, thanks.
Oh, fantastic. Thank you very much. Thank you very much for joining me. So I suppose just to put a little bit of context to the conversation, obviously you guys are a couple, and I was trying to think of like a really polite way to ask this, but which came first, the band or being a couple?
Well, we met through music. So we were both on the local music scene as soloists. And that's how we met, and then we were pretty much a couple straight away. And we've been in quite a few bands before In Earnest, so
that's three, isn't it?
Yeah, I think we've been in about three bands. So we've been singing and playing together for near on 8 years.
Oh,
and
wow.
So In Earnest has only been a thing for a couple of years. So
yeah,
it's been that's been the newest addition.
Yeah. Oh, super. And how's it going? Because it was kind of like the EP came out in lockdown, right? Which is a strange scenario in itself to be releasing music. But how did you find that?
We've only ever released music in lockdown. So right. We did a few live gigs before lockdown, and that was the extent of our band outside lockdown. So it's kind of, we're just used to it now, I think. We've learned to adapt and work out what to do differently in lockdown, and it's slowly changing again. But
yeah, it was sort of the case that we set ourselves up to kind of start releasing music and playing some shows, and then you know everything happened, and it was sort of a deal breaker, like, do you carry on and pretend that, well, everything was different, you can't pretend it wasn't different, but do you carry on with your plans that you've already made and put in place and spent time and energy on, or do you wait? And we just, you know, we didn't feel like waiting was the best option, so we just plowed on, just kind of did what we could.
Yeah, man.
I think it actually helped, because I think that a lot of people who were first-time listeners were at home, you know, looking for things to listen to and watch, and so I think it helped actually in a way, as being a complete fresh band. It was a good thing.
Yeah, definitely. I think that was a really cool way to look at it. People were just there to consume, wasn't it, and find new things. And there's been some really good records came out in 2020 as well. Like, yeah, I think a lot of people who make music had that approach. It was like just get it out. Mm. Yeah. Was it able to, did you have much like downtime to kind of get writing done and stuff like that? Or, you know, how did that?
Yeah, we had quite a lot of downtime. Tom was still working and through lockdown, and I didn't really have a lot on, so I wrote a few bits. We've mainly been focusing on our own PR, really. We just decided to do our own PR at the beginning of last year, and so we've just done a major push on all our PR for our music as well, which has really helped. get a new perspective on stuff.
And just to spread general awareness.
Yeah, yeah.
We also made, so yes and no, we did write. It wasn't, I must admit, it wasn't the sort of most inspiring time of, I think, probably either of our lives in terms of, you know, yes, there was time to do things, but we mainly focused on kind of promoting what we'd already, you know, scheduled to release and work on. And we made about 4 music videos, which never would have happened had it not been for lockdown, just because of time restraints and things like that. So yeah, it was productive in some ways, and then in others maybe not so. But you know, I don't know about you, Sarah, but I feel like writing, like now things are sort of going back to normal. Yeah. I actually feel more inspired, weirdly enough. But I suppose that's because when you write music, or when I write music, having things around me going on and changing actually helps me stay fresh, come up with ideas. If you feel like, you know, you're going to be indoors for the next year, I don't know, it just didn't feel inspiring, I suppose.
yeah, I kind of get that, really. Yeah, I suppose, yeah. It's like, you know, when every day is a bit the same and all that's in the news is doom and gloom anyway, that you're probably trying to avoid. There's only so much you want to sort of say about it, and, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, cool. So you guys are like really openly advocate for mental health, which is kind of like, you know, how we connected. Where does that come from? Where does that come from the band?
It's mostly me. I was diagnosed with depression and anxiety disorder 11 years ago now. So for the past 11 years, I've just been scrambling around trying to educate myself on what's going on in my brain and how I can deal with it and how I can help others around me deal with it. And then Tom and I kind of come as a pair, so he kind of took on a lot of these struggles with me. And so I think he's got quite a lot of understanding about, you know, how what someone goes through when they're struggling or when they're in a dark time, and kind of how to help that. So I think, and a lot of our music is just written just from a really genuine standpoint, and it's all experiences that we've had as people, human experiences. And so we couldn't just ignore the fact, this big elephant in the room, that I suffer from these things and Tom has to put up with it on a daily basis and struggle through with me. So it makes sense to be writing about it, and any awareness that we can help raise at the same time is doubly.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a bit of a double-edged sword as well, because we not only get you know, the satisfaction of being honest with ourselves through the songs and what's going on, and it almost helps you reflect better than you do when you're like just in your daily life. When you're actually writing things down, sometimes you realize that, oh yeah, I feel this way, and I hadn't really thought about it until I've written it down or tried to kind of bottle what it is that you're going through. So not only do you get your own kind of catharsis out of it, because you've got that self-study element and you can kind of figure out what you're thinking if you're not that sure, but also we've had lots of other people reach out and say, you know, a good example of someone reaching out recently is one of our newest songs from our double single we put out in March, is about our 2 dogs, one of which we still have and one which we lost. And we had loads of messages from different people saying, oh, I lost a pet last year. And so we get a lot of that as well. A lot of people reaching out to sort of say, thank you for writing that song and releasing it, because it's really helped me. Delve into my own kind of psyche and what's going on with me. And so that's really rewarding. And we sort of feel like, unless people who live with things like mental illness write about it and sing about it and try and, you know, increase awareness, erase stigma, who will? And so that's become part of what In Earnest is, isn't it, to us? It's mm-hmm. it's that actual, you know, writing about potentially difficult topics and not being sort of not shying away from them too much.
Yeah, that's awesome, man, because I think like music for people, it's so comforting at times, you know. It's somewhere where people can really turn when life isn't going, you know, too well, or something's on, and yeah, I mean, people might write about these things, but maybe they hide it with metaphor or, you know, like change the words a little bit and stuff like that. So to be out there and saying like, this is what we're writing about, I'd imagine that's a huge source of comfort to people. And you mentioned like your dog as well, you know, that sense of loss, that grief, that's huge. That must resonate with so many people. Yeah, and to have that, normally they wouldn't have that song to put on, that place to go to. For that sort of emotion, man. So I think that's really important. And one thing I really, really loved as well that I wanted to just chat to you a little bit about is the dynamic of you like both being, you know, both writing about these things, is because that's so, so important. I did an episode on this podcast about me, and then I did a follow-up one where I sat down and we went through the story again, but from my wife's perspective. And it's our highest downloaded episode still now. And we've had more DMs, more messages, more everything about that episode. And it's all people reaching out and saying, I really, really identified with it. So I think, you know, like the more we forget, don't we, with mental health, because it kind of like it affects, you know, and it can be a little bit, I don't know if you're the same, Sarah, with me, it can be a little bit all consuming. And over the years, it did make me, I suppose, quite selfish. And then to hear my wife talking about it and hear her perspective really helped me to kind of, you know, work out where I sat with it and stuff like that. So if I think people have got that as well in music, which is such a comfort blanket, then I think that's fucking huge, man. I think that's really cool.
Absolutely. I really think that's a cool point to make, because when I first came out about all this and all my struggles, I think I started to write a blog, and then I wrote quite a few of just about me, and then I kind of asked Tom to write his perspective, and it really was very eye-opening, because I didn't know some of the stuff that he was thinking and went through and was challenged by, and so that just really is very eye-opening. And then we literally did it in music, because our first two singles were, first one was my struggles with depression, and then the second single was how Tom deals with me dealing with depression. So it's they kind of work in tandem, and we like to kind of use it as a call and response sometimes, because we just think they go well together, and the kind of two perspectives.
I think it also you know, you've got on one hand the ability to spread awareness of, you know, mental health issues and how common they are or can be. But some, you know, a lot of the time you never hear about the other people that it affects, unless you know about mental health or someone that you live with or are close to struggles with it. You don't realize, I don't think, how it affects everybody around the person who is suffering as well. Not to the same extent, but it still has an impact on everybody. And it's just something that it means so much to us to kind of help other people as well. We've had over the years like different friends, through kind of Sarah being open about her mental health, we've had friends come to us and say, I have been really struggling, I haven't told anyone, I don't feel like I've got anyone I can talk to, can I talk to you about it? And that happened quite a few times, didn't it, a couple of years ago. And it's, yeah, we know how difficult it is. So Sarah's got me, and then we've got other friends who don't have anyone to talk to. And we, like, it's almost like unimaginable being in that position, with seemingly nowhere or no one to turn to kind of ask for advice. We're ambassadors for a UK, a London-based charity called My Black Dog, and they're really cool because they are, as far as we are aware, they are the only UK peer-to-peer chat service that is free to use for anybody. So unlike things like crisis lines, it's sort of pre that. It's like for people who are starting to realise that maybe they are struggling more than is kind of common, if they've got any particular issue that they really need to speak to someone about, but they're afraid of picking up the phone, which you wholly identify with, talking to a professional or a stranger about something so deeply personal can be really hard. So My Black Dog, they have this chat service, and all of the staff are people who have struggled with mental health and issues themselves. So a lot of the time, you know, they're a really great place to go to have someone, have an informal, you know, chat over Messenger with, with someone who probably knows, you know, a lot, quite a fair bit about what you're going through. So yeah, we do fundraising and bits for them, and yeah, just try and do as much as we can, really, just to help the subject.
Yeah, that's really cool. I like how My Back Dog, I like how they kind of go about things, and I like how they look, and having people like yourselves being patrons for them, I think that's huge, because we all know the like the bigger named charities and stuff like that, and they're all like amazing, and you know, and but I could never bring myself to call them or use those services, because it just didn't feel like, I don't know, it felt just felt too big, it felt too huge, it felt stereotypical. Yeah. There was all these like mixed emotions about it. But when you see like My Black Dog, and you look at the list of patrons, and it's like yourselves and I've like Nick Hogben, I've had Nick on the podcast as well, and you know, and you kind of, you know, there's musicians, and I'm into music, so I was like, oh well, if these people are involved, then I could definitely pick up the phone, and it just gives it a different feel, doesn't it, a different vibe to asking for help. And I think that's important, because you can end up in a bit of a box where I mean, relatability is huge. That's why people like to hear you sing about it, that's why people like to hear podcasts about it, that's why people read blogs about it. Relatability is huge, and yeah, the people who are advocating for these things, if they're relatable to a certain demographic or a different audience, then that's only going to be a positive thing, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's cool, man. Do you find like so Sarah, for instance, if you're in a bad place, can you write in the moment, or do you have to be away from that to be able to create?
That's a really good question. Mostly I have to be experiencing something bad to be able to write at all, which is really weird, really peculiar, because, you know, in lockdown I've actually been quite happy. I'm a very insular person. I don't really thrive in social situations, so lockdown was kind of easy for me, and I just struggle to write. I am happiest when I'm not happiest when I'm down, but I'm more the most creative when I'm down, let's just say that. More productive, yeah. And so I think I have to be struggling through something to even get lyric ideas, because I write lyrics first, music after, which is pretty much the opposite to Tom. And so yeah, I feel like I only get ideas when I am really struggling and really need to think about stuff. So I mostly have to be in the moment of a crisis, basically.
Yeah, I think the interesting thing about that is that it's, I mean, we've talked about that this before, haven't we? Why is it that way for you when you write? And it's like having an outside perspective, I sort of maybe see it that when you're in a phase of depression or low mood, you haven't got to recall what those feelings are like. They're happening right there and then. Whereas sometimes when you're, you know, when you are feeling good, you don't want to spend time feeling like trying to remember what it was like to feel bad. And so, and it, you know, it's hard to recall, especially when, you know, that fluctuation in mood goes on for so many years. And it's hard to remember exactly what it feels like. And I'm guessing that it probably feels different all the time. It's definitely something we've talked about, isn't it?
Yeah.
Just like, because I think I've asked you before, can you remember what it's like to feel really low when you're not feeling it at the time? And I can't remember what you said now. It was a long time ago.
I'm not sure what I said.
But yeah, it's just, I think like from a stigma point of view, and from like why it's so hard to understand mental health, because it is really difficult to articulate how it feels and what you're going through or what you've been through and stuff like that. And I think when you're in it, you're in it, and when you're out, you're out. There's very little but like middle grounds. Yeah, so I yeah, that kind of makes a lot of sense. And I never thought it's on from that perspective, how like you wouldn't want to go back there, right? Because if you're just coming out the other side of a patch, then it's like, right, I need to keep moving forward. Yeah. Oh, that's interesting. Tom, do you find it, does it help you understand mental health more, like process how you feel about it by creating music in this space?
Yeah, so I think the nature of you know, being in a relationship with someone for years that you know does very much experience the extreme highs and lows almost like in turn. I think that just brings awareness of, like, I think that one thing that that's really easy to say is that I think the more time you spend with someone, you can, I feel like at times, it's not always, but sometimes I can see it coming. I can almost feel it coming. I can feel like something's going to happen. It might be the tone in Sarah's voice, or it might be something. And sometimes I can help you avoid meltdown. That's what we call it, don't we? Meltdown, yeah, having a meltdown. I think that's one definite thing. You are more, you're consciously aware of how the other person you're living with is sort of doing on any given day. I think also you've got the, you know, you've got, you're talking about supreme lows and how you feel about yourself, maybe like things like self-image, being anxious in social situations. But I think that one benefit of kind of living with someone who does at times struggle is that it makes you less judgmental about everyone. So I might be out in the car and someone might do something stupid or whatever, or get really angry for no reason. And, you know, it does give you the ability over time to step back and go, well, maybe that person's just had something really bad happen to them this morning. Whereas I think when you're not that conscious of how mental health works and how, you know, just one bad thing happening to someone can ruin their whole day and then, you know, affect all the way that they interact with other people, it really opens up a world of kind of is empathy the right word? Just like being able to kind of be non-judgmental, you know, about the way that people act and also the way that you act. And I just felt like the last few years I've started to notice why people that maybe I thought were you know, like arrogant or a bit rude, actually they act the way they act because they're the opposite.
There's a reason for it, normally.
So all of these sort of, these things definitely come to light the more you spend time with, you know, someone who struggles with their mental health, because you have to be considerate and you have to try and be helpful.
And be patient.
Yeah, and be patient. So I would say there are lots of positives that have come out of this life experience that I wouldn't change for anything.
Oh man, that's wicked. Yeah, what a lovely way to put it.
It's just the truth. But was your question more around like how writing?
It doesn't really matter. It's just how you, I'm really interested just because I've been like exploring that with my wife a lot recently. And I love what you're talking about there about compassion, you know, like modern humans are not a particularly compassionate bunch, but when you've been through something or you've watched someone that you love or care about go through something, and you inherit that compassion. And I always think that's, again, you talk of stigma, you talk of like opening these conversations and making it a norm. Like, I'm a firm believer that that's compassion, that's what we're missing. But it's so hard, because it is so hard to explain it, to explain what some of these things are and what people are going through. It's hard to spread that message, man. Very much so.
But from like a writing point of view, I would say for myself, obviously the writing works in a little bit of a different way. I can sort of write, not always just when I want to. I can write music quite easily. I feel like I've got so many musical ideas that I haven't sort of finished or kind of written lyrics for and things like that. But again, going back to that idea of learning kind of compassion and understanding for other human beings, I think it makes you less afraid of exploring the things that make, because I mean, we've all got things that make us anxious or make us feel a certain way. And that opening up of, you know, witnessing someone or being with someone who's opened up to what they struggle with, I think it makes you less afraid of like going there in your own head of going like, why do I get anxious about that thing? I started to notice that I do that, and maybe there'll be like a song will come out of that need to kind of explore why you feel a certain way when this happens or when you're in this situation. So it definitely has an influence on my writing, even though I don't experience I would say, like any irregular levels of depression or depressive states, anything like that. But obviously we all go through it time to time. But yeah, it all has an effect.
I think it's interesting because I often try to, obviously we've got Toby, who's the third member of In Earnest, and we're always chatting to him openly about mental health, and he's always like willing to listen and learn about it even more. And it's only recently we've just been putting our second EP together, and there's a track on there that I really wanted to try and capture my mood, but in musical form. And it's been very interesting. There's a very like calm 3 minutes of song with barely anything in it, and then there's this massive chunk of every instrument we own, everything in there. It's really super overwhelming, and I wanted that calm and then that explosion of sound. And I might be talking about this before we've actually before we've even announced it, but I really wanted to get Toby and Tom and our producer Pete to feel even a snippet of what it's like to be that overwhelmed and to be so I don't know, how debilitating it can feel. And yeah, in musical form, that's the best way to sort of portray that, I feel.
Yeah, just really express it. I suppose everyone listening, you know, listen to music, people are really into music, you do it to feel something, right? You know, to turn those feelings up. And that was really interesting what you were saying as well, because we tend to talk about mental health in as if only people who are dealing with mental health have these like really, really extreme feelings. But like everyone feels stuff, you know, some people just, you know, might feel it more, might feel it differently. That's a really interesting way of thinking about that as well. Yeah. And do you have to, I talk a lot about energy, right? And like there's two different types of energy. So there's physical energy that you need to like go around and live your life and go to work and do all that sort of stuff. And then there's like emotional energy. And that's the one that I feel the well that gets like run dry in dark periods. And do you have to kind of like keep an eye on that, like both around stuff like playing live or stuff that is, you know, recording and stuff that can be quite energy intensive in that way?
Yeah, I think nowadays we have more of self-awareness of what we can actually take emotionally and mentally, but I think we try and just in this band, well, I mean we've been in bands before that have just been so stressful, and recording process has been a nightmare and just end up in arguments and things, so we really wanted to just be chill with this band. We want to enjoy every bit of the process of making music, because we should enjoy it. We're musicians, and if we're not enjoying making our art, what's the point? And so we like to hire like an Airbnb, and then we get our producer to bring all his stuff, and so we basically have a holiday within the recording process, which is really super important for us, just all of our emotional and mental health, is that the right way of saying it? It's just we like a relaxed environment, don't we?
Yeah, I think that we've like Sarah said, we've done different bands and projects over the years, and it's weird, I mean not weirdly, but it just has sort of worked out that we started off with in a couple of bands with lots more people, and what happens when you have lots more people is that there is a bigger potential for people to have, you know, varying opinions and experiences with all different things and different standpoints and all of that stuff. So what has kind of happened over the years is that we've quite kind of narrowed in the people that we, you know, want to do something like an important project with, and it's the sort of the numbers have just dwindled as the years have gone on. So essentially now there are the three of us, and I think that we understand each other much more, and we're much closer than when we were in a band with still us three, but also with another three people. It's difficult for everyone's ambitions to match up and what they actually want to get out of creating music and doing a musical project. It's harder for everyone to be open and honest, because some people don't want to be and other people really want to be. So I think what the key is finding that group of people who you can really be open with, and you can have those honest conversations, knowing that you know, no one's going to get offended. Everyone is on the same page and they're looking for the same end result, which is, you know, just creating the best thing that we can make. And so I would say that's so important, because when you're in a band, I think unless you're in bands, it's hard to sort of know how close you all actually become. It is like family. Mm-hmm. You do have arguments. You do have like those things. Like Toby's like almost like a brother to us. And so, yeah, I think the more you all understand each other and actually communicate rather than just kind of everyone just hoping for the best and hoping that they're understood is just the best. Everything we do, we all talk about it and start to death until we're bored of talking about it. Just so everyone really knows what the deal is, what the point of it is, why we want to make the art that we're coming up with. I've probably strayed away.
We've got a little bit off topic, but
no, but you know, it all comes back to like protecting that energy, right? And
yes,
you know, being proactive, like put yourself in the best place to, you know, to be able to take care of yourself and yourselves, and then you're gonna make better music, right? You're gonna be able to pour that into what you're producing. And you mentioned before that like people getting in touch that they can relate to your songs and stuff like that. Do you then have to kind of protect yourself slightly from that? Because it's great that people relate and it's great that people feel like they can send you a message and say that really helped me. But, you know, with this age of social media and stuff like that, sometimes it can, you know, you can get DMs that can kind of be, you know, you think, wow, how do I process this? What do I do with this? You know, and in the mental health space, you know, there's always, you know, it can be like a funny area, can't it, for communicating with the people that listen to you.
Yeah. Well, we actually know someone who got into a bit of a pickle, really, with someone talking about their mental illness, and I don't know how much I can say, but it all went a bit wrong. And so we're aware of, you know, being there to listen to someone, but careful not to give too much advice, I suppose, because I'm not really in a position to give advice. So
yeah, I think it's different, isn't it, if it's like a close friend that you know very well. That's different to, you know, like a relative stranger kind of coming out of nowhere and saying, oh, you know maybe wanting too much from you, because yes, we're offering a perspective, and we, you know, we would probably prefer to signpost somebody to an appropriate service or something, rather than kind of try to delve too much ourselves and try and, you know, provide therapy to someone else, because
well, we're just a band, we're not a therapist service. Yeah. And so yeah, you've got to remember your position, I think, and you have got, like you said, protect yourself from, well, you've got to protect your own mental health first before others. And so if it's going to start affecting you in all these ways, then it's better to steer clear.
Yeah, definitely. And it can be quite hard to know where to draw the line when you're sort of holding a certain amount of space for other people, right? You know, so people are messaging you and stuff, then that can be, even if you're not they're not asking for advice, it can be maybe a lot to sift through of other people's stuff, you know. And it does come with the territory, doesn't it, that when you're open and honest and people reach out to speak, and that's what we want, but then at the same time, then that can be quite difficult to juggle and to deal with and stuff like that. Yeah. Oh, that's cool, man. I wanted to chat about your videos as well. You mentioned them at the start. I love their, because like videos, it's almost like a forgotten medium, isn't it? And sort of the bit, you know, the rappers with all the money make these big flashy videos still, but no one else seems to bother. You don't hear of it anymore, right? And but yeah, there's that real like creative DIY ethic, that really indie ethic to your videos, and they're really cool, like some really good unusual ideas. And but I really wanted to talk about the Put Me Under video, because that is fucking powerful, that video. It really is. That
thanks, dude.
Yeah, that, you know, it's one of those when you kind of, you watch something and you think, I need to process how that made me feel, if that makes sense, because that's you know, like my wife always says about me, if I'm in a bad patch, that she can see it. She can see it in me. And I couldn't describe what she can see, but I know what she means, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And Sarah, in that video, there's times when you are in it, like whatever it is, you can really see that. And that's
it. Diving down to the bottom and coming back up to the top in like a flick of a second. Yeah. It really is just capturing every mood and everything in between as well. Like, it's easy to say like you're feeling happy or you're feeling sad one day, but then there's like a numbness in between that you can't really explain. And so I wanted to show that kind of side as well. But it was a really interesting process because I randomly thought of it one day. And I said, to Tom, whatever mood I'm in, you need to capture like 10 seconds of my day of me and sitting in that chair. And
it How just, long did
and
it?
Some, oh, I think it was nearly 3 months.
Wow.
Yeah. 2.5 months, I think it was, every day. And some days I was not in the mood for it. And I kind of.
Yeah, you tried to say no.
And Tom persisted because he said, right, a few weeks ago, you told me to do this, so I'll continue. And I'm so glad he did because it captured so many other moods that I was not expecting. And I edited it myself, and it was really interesting to see me a lot. And I really struggle with memory loss as well. It's kind of this weird symptom that I get from my depression, I think. Nice. And to be able to see myself moving in a video of a moment that I could not remember is really weird.
Wow, yeah.
So it was very eye-opening, that whole process.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I think just the way it kind of, when it comes on and the video is like a bit of crackly and stuff, and you don't quite know, I didn't know what I was about to watch, do you know what I mean? And you kind of think, oh, is this is this a recent thing, is this some like old like diary she used to make years ago, or you can't quite tell. But yeah, it's really, really powerful. I'll put a link to it in the episode notes, because I think you talk about relatability and just like day to day being in that mental health space and having those like bad days. Yeah, it's really really powerful. Yeah, it's very, very cool. Yeah, and I've not seen anything like that at all, man. I'm like it was sick. Yeah, really cool. And you've got you mentioned before, you got a new EP coming out, right? Is that that's on the way towards the back end of the year?
Yes, October we're thinking at the moment. We recorded it last September, so it's been nearly a year in the making, but we've held on to it, and we're trying to work on some interesting things. I can't really say anything.
we were lucky enough to find a week's kind of window where it was legal to have three households, wasn't it, we had at the time. There was us, Toby, Toby's partner, and Pete, our producer. So had we not sort of taken the chance in September and kind of hoped it would all go ahead, we'd probably be recording like this summer or something, wouldn't we? So we're glad. I mean, some of the other cool things through being in lockdown were that you wrote an extra song that very much summed up your, we were talking about this the other day. So some of the lyrical content in the new music is kind of centered around kind of what we experienced in 2019 before COVID hit. And we were talking about this the other day, and we said 2019 was by far a worse year than 2020, which was COVID ridden. And that sounds almost unbelievable, doesn't it? But we lost our dog. You went through a really rough patch with medication, didn't you? Mm-hmm.
There's quite a lot happening that year. But it's weird because a lot of the new EP was about 2019, and I think a lot of people will presume that it's about the dip in 2020 that everyone had kind of experienced, but it really was about the previous year.
Yeah, and that's how life moves, right? I mean, like, 2020 is fascinating because it obviously, it was, the people had an awful time, right? But I had quite a nice summer, if I'm being honest. And it feels weird to say, but Sarah, like you mentioned before, like if you've got certain personality traits, then it suits, right? It's like, I kind of felt I'd been preparing for a lockdown like my whole life. And it just,
absolutely, exactly, yeah.
It really, and it, like for me, I had like a big shift after that, right? I found coming out really hard, and I had to really knuckle down and reevaluate my life before that, because lockdown made me realize, oh, hang on a minute, I like this style living. Like, I don't really want to go back to that style living. So yeah, there's, you know, it's life's always going to serve out those 2019s, right? Those years that aren't pandemics that still warrant writing about. And you announced the show as well. Show coming up.
Yeah, so we announced we were supposed to do a hometown show in, when was it going to be?
It was going to be in March 2020.
So or that's April been kind of, yeah, that's going to be happening in October. We've got a couple of other show announcements to come as well, which feels a bit surreal at the moment because we went to see your dad play a tiny little gig, didn't we, the other day. Mm-hmm. But other than that, we haven't really
literally been nowhere,
done anything.
So to travel and play a gig, it seems really peculiar.
It's exciting, but it will be, it'll be strange kind of getting back out there. But we've been, you know, we've been waiting to be able to do that for, you know, 18 months or so. So that feels really nice. And yeah, as you mentioned, new music coming. There's going to be an interesting new video project that we're working on. So we won't ruin that. We'll talk to you about that nearer the time, probably. But it's all quite interesting. There's quite a lot going on kind of behind the scenes at the moment.
It's very ambitious.
Yeah.
And cool. Having a lot of sleepless nights over it, but it's going to be worth it.
Yeah. Oh, you guys must be chomping at the bit though, right? To get stuff out and start playing and all that sort of, all that stuff. I think it's been, you know, particularly frustrating time for creative stuff now, isn't it? Because you just want to kind of get out there and make it happen.
We just hope that our stuff will be heard, because we're a relatively new band and there's so many other bands that have only just got music together, and everyone's shoving stuff out now when the world has begun turning again. And I just hope that there's a space for us somewhere in the world of music.
Yeah, I mean, one thing we have learned is that there is a limit to what you can do with, promoting your stuff online. And it has really highlighted the positives of performing live. You know, performing live, you can reach 100 new ears in one go, whereas to achieve that online, to get, you know, 100 unique new people to go and listen to something you've just put out is really difficult. So it's something that we can't wait to get back to, because we are very much a band that has always, we're not one of these like record and never play gig kind of bands. It is very much a part of what, you know, why we create is because we want to stand up on the stage and we want to kind of play these songs to a live audience and take them through kind of the journey of the music as well. That's really important to us. So it is very exciting.
Is it strange kind of going back over through some of these stuff you write about, doing it on stage in front of people, like revisiting it? You know, is that quite is that cathartic, or is that, you know, how does that make you feel when you have to go through these things again?
It's sometimes difficult to sing lyrics that you wrote a few years ago and realize that you were in such a bad place at that point, but it's nice having a different perspective on it and going and sort of thinking, I was in such a bad place then, but look at me now. Look at me singing this song to all these people, and actually be appreciative of what I suffered, because without that suffering, I wouldn't have this song. I think I can kind of put it behind me in a way and find a new angle on it in a kind of positive way, I think.
Yeah, I think that there's something in the idea that you can write sad music, but the moment that it reaches other people's ears and they start to identify with it, you know, and the minute that someone says, oh, I love this, that it kind of you find you're presented almost, without doing it yourself, with that new angle on what it is and what that piece of art means. It kind of, I don't think you ever really completely detach from it, because it was something you went through, and of course you remember what all the lines are about. It's very specific things, because we're definitely ones for mentioning very specific things in lyrics. We're not sort of, we don't generalize too much, so often we're telling you the exact thing that was going on. And the minute like that's shared, the minute that people sing along or just enjoy hearing that in a room, it instantly makes it less sad. It makes sad music less sad. I think it makes it, it turns it into something, I don't know, just
something we can all celebrate.
Yeah, exactly. And the great thing, like Sarah said, is you can you know, look back or listen back to or read something you wrote a while ago, and you can be like, and you know, I survived, I got through it, and I'm still here. And sometimes I think that's just all you need. Some days, just a reminder that you know, you've been at your worst, and it does get better if you can, you know, find help, educate yourself, all those sorts of things, to see yourself through it.
Oh mate, that's a lovely way of looking at it, and it's so nice to have that, I suppose, like a time capsule element to it, you know. And you know, like, emotions fade, right? Like, over time you can look back at different situations and feel different by them, and you know, stuff like that. So I suppose as you move forward, and then you give these things to other people, and then it's theirs then, right? So they might be singing words back to you, and you wrote them about one thing, and they're singing them back thinking of something completely different, right?
Yeah. So
yeah, they can interpret it however they like. And just like on bad days when it's hard to function, or Tom, when you're particularly like worried about Sarah and stuff, like if that falls on a day that you had to record or play live, how do you navigate that? Because I think a lot of people have days where they wake up in the morning and they think, right, today is, you know, is not going to be an easy day for me, and you know, hopefully they've got like tools in their toolbox and processes and rituals or whatever to get them through it, but quite often that involves, you know, maybe going to, you know, work in an office, or maybe go to, you know, like I do some like teaching and coaching and stuff. So I get to work one-on-one, so I can like coach myself through these days. It's a different story when you've got to like stand up in front of people and you've got to produce something, or you've got to, you know, put yourself in a space. How do you navigate that?
It's a really good question. Never been asked that before.
I would say, again, if you can put yourself in a position where you're not pressured into doing certain things, or you know, you're surrounding yourself with people that understand, or try their best to understand, or they're going to be patient, I think you stand a much better chance of not only you know, not only avoiding having that sort of dread of what's going to happen occurring in the first place, and therefore finding it hard to get out of bed. I think that's huge. Just doing something that you believe in, I think, can be the difference between being able to get out of bed or not, and it being something that is important to you. I mean, with this band, we've not really had that experience, but we have had that, or you have had that experience in prior bands, where maybe it was a different thing and it wasn't what the band is now, and it was hard to find the emotional strength to actually go and do a gig. But you know, feeling like you can't do it, but also feeling like you don't want to let other people down, it's difficult, isn't it? But I think, again, going back to that idea of having a team of people around you that you work with, even in a creative environment, that understand, if that happened, we just wouldn't record that day. We'd just chill out.
I seriously think if I had just had a bad day, everyone would be like, it's fine, just take a day off. We can do it tomorrow. Do it again later. Try again. And I've been in bands. We've been in bands before where we've been on tour and I've had a bad day, and you just got a soldier on through it. You've just got to somehow get in the van and get out of the van and carry on. So that has happened before. I've had anxiety attacks before gigs before. And I don't know. I don't know how. I can't honestly say how I got through it. But
yeah,
I think having people around you that understand what you're going through and can kind of go, right, how can I help? How can I make this better for you?
Yeah. I mean, I think there are also other, obviously it's down to different people's character, you know, and their traits and things like that. But as an example, Sarah likes to organize things. So in organizing something, to Sarah, that's her figuring out how it's going to work, which lessens the anxiety over the actual event happening. Obviously knowing that things do change, but that, I think that's a great, so even just being prepared mentally can, you know, be the difference between you know, meltdown or not meltdown. But actually, I think it's great that, you know, if Sarah can take the reins on something and saying, I'm going to organise this, I'm going to pick what time we're leaving, what route we're going to take and all that. If that helps, then, you know, everyone's all for that. Everyone's like, yeah, I do that. Sarah's great at organising things and planning and thinking ahead.
On said tour, I've sort of naturally stepped into the tour manager role because I'm good at scheduling and good at getting everyone in one place.
But how do you think you would have felt if someone else?
It's weird because the, you know, the last tour we did before that one was organised by the people who we were supporting, and we had like a schedule, and I was just holding this schedule like someone's made this, so I need to like try and, you know, keep everything to a T on this. It was quite a weird experience, like not having control over it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. I don't know if that affected my mood in some way. I'm not sure.
I think just naturally, if you're, you know, excited about what you're doing, that the chance of having an off day on the day of a show or something important that you need to do for that project happening is quite slim, isn't it?
Yeah,
I'd agree with that so much. Like, a topic, and I must say this every other episode, but we get certain themes that keep coming back up and up and up. And there's something about like authenticity, you know, and doing, being able to do something that you really, really like believe in and be true to yourself. And it helps people to navigate the world when they don't have to force themselves into other boxes and stuff like that. That's really important. And you know, you mentioned there just being able to say, you know, I'm having a bad day, and that's what we want to achieve by talking about mental health, right? Imagine if we could get it so anyone could say that to anyone. Like at any point you could just say, look, today's going to be rough, I want to take a step back, and the people you say it to would actually be like, oh yeah, cool, you know, I've got that compassion, I understand what you go through, I might not have the lived experience, but I can identify with it in some way. And you know, and give that space, man. Yeah, that's awesome. So guys, I'm very conscious I've taken up a lot of your time this evening, but thank you so much for joining me. That was wicked. That was really, really cool. And I've lived, since we kind of connected, I've lived in your EP. I really like it. It's really, really good. I've had it on today in the car and everything, and it's wicked. I'm really looking forward to the next one, man. It sounds wicked. It sounds really cool.
Well, we can send you the new one very, very soon if you'd like.
As a little preview.
Thank you so much. I mean, there's a lot, and it's a pleasure to come and, you know, talk so openly to someone who's really, like, you know, just
on the ball. Thanks for asking so many really good questions.
It was
nice to, because we've done quite a few podcasts and sort of interviews around mental health, haven't we? And it's so nice to get different questions as well, because obviously a lot of the reoccurring questions are very important, but it's just lovely to have different questions to answer.
That's cool, man. I do try and do a bit of research, and I kind of I like to try, if I can, take, I'm still a bit of a novice, but try and take people somewhere different, right? Because I think if you've done it on someone else's podcast, they're probably really good at it, and if people want to hear that, they can go there and hear a really good job, you know. So let's see if we can do something different, but I really appreciate you saying that. That's awesome. And thank you very much for joining me, and stay in touch, man. Let's connect, and we can do it further down the line. It's great to meet you. Thank you very much.
It's been a pleasure.
Cheers, guys. Thank you.
Thank you for listening from the Proper Mental Podcast. Please like and subscribe.
Plus 5 stars.
Throwing roses on a backlit porch. Tell me that I'm done. Romantic divorce. Who will come and strip the fight from me? Who said that my race is run already? Everybody else. us just looks like rain, weathered all the same. Only thing that makes us different is that I won't plead insane. It's the black that's blinding, it's the light unseen. This will be the death of me and all that's in between. In between, this is the death of me.